One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
And we just want to say, I don't know, you know, I'm so terrible at doing this freaking intro stuff. You know what I mean? It's like my brain just goes all over the place. If you have a story you'd like to share with us here on the show, give us a call. Contact us at HammerLaneLegends.com. That's HammerLaneLegends.com. That's the website. And hit contacts. Or go to hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. While you're there at the website, if you go through the website, check out the gear section. There's all kinds of stuff in there, right, Chip?
Yeah. Coffee mugs, stickers, t-shirts.
You name it, we've got it.
Yeah, and if not, we can get more.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Chip, tell them about the voicemail line.
You know, leave a voicemail. You know, if you have a short story, you know, 5-10 minutes, we'll eventually get to the voicemail line.
We promise.
You know, we're having technical difficulties at the time, but you leave a voicemail at 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. You know, short story, 5-10 minute, one hitter there. If you got a story longer than that, you know, contact the show. We'll get you on the show for an interview.
Exactly. That's HammerLaneLegends.com.
Right.
And let's have a quick conversation here about this situation that we find ourselves in, Ship. I mean, what do you think about all the stuff that's going on in the economy, the stores, shortages, and everything else going on?
Oh, let's go, Brandon.
Let's go.
My boys right now going out fishing.
Brandon, get some fish. Well, if you find yourself in need, and with what we're walking through right now in this economy and everything else, and shortages at the stores and everything else, you know, if you find yourself in need of some preparedness food, you know what? Check out HLL or preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. If you need it, they've got it. They've got food. They've got you know,
they've got everything.
Water filters. they've got everything. Just check it out. Go there and check it out and see what they've got. Just where we are now, I would encourage you to take a look at it.
Besides, the food lasts 25 years.
Exactly.
Know, 24 and a half years, you want to have a big shindig, you got it all there. If you're your ready
wife,
to go.
If your wife cooks anything like mine, that food lasts for 25 years, too.
No, she didn't hear that.
She didn't. It's okay. She probably won't because she doesn't listen. So, I'm safe.
Yes.
That's
beautiful.
Terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's when you get on that look there at the Hammer Lane Emergency Preparedness Food. You get there. They also do payment plans. So, you know, you don't have to worry about taking the whole big hit at all one time.
There you go.
They can stretch it out for you on a payment plan.
Yeah, you can get a 1 month. You can get a 3 month. You know, you can spread it out, do what you need to do. But, you know, I would do something about it. I would just do something about it.
Be prepared.
Be prepared. Be like a good Boy Scout. Be prepared.
Right.
And, you know, what you do is you can keep us fueled with coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. That's buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. Caffeine is what keeps us going. Diesel keeps the trucks running. Caffeine keeps the body running.
Well, look at it this way. Coffee's not as much as diesel. Yeah.
Ain't that the truth? Amen, brother. Amen. Well, Ship, who are we talking to today?
Well, today we got on the phone a friend of mine, Eric Meixel. Met him when I was working at PJAX. He started working there and didn't know he was relatively a neighbor of mine down the road. So, you know, we kept in contact and through the years got him flipped over. He worked with us at Pitt for a while and was just tired of the aggravation, not having off when he needed to have off because, you know, he has other shit he does on the side. You know, he has a pickup truck that he does pro pulling with.
Wow.
And, you know.
I guess with all that being said, maybe we should just introduce him and let him talk to us
sure,
about it.
Sure, why not? Hey, how's it going, Eric?
How's it going, guys?
We're doing good. It's good to talk with you. I mean, we sound like a couple of real professionals here, don't we? We're stumbling all over the intro, stumbling all over ourselves, trying to just introduce you. But, you know, that's the way it is.
All right. So, what's new, Eric? How'd you get started in this? And
there you go. How did the trucking world draw you into this fabulous world that we're all working in now?
It's a great world of trucking. Well, I grew up on a farm. And my dad was in the hay business and got involved in trucking hay all over the Northeast when I was a kid. And started hauling for him when I was 18. When I was 20, I got my CDL. And about 94, I went to work for PJAX there.
It was 94. Okay. And, I wasn't sure when it was.
Yes, September 94.
Nice.
Right when I turned 21, Jeff hired me there.
Nice.
That's awesome. PJAX.
And, yeah. Well, you guys know the history. PJAX, Vitrans, Central.
They've been around.
Yes. Great company.
But, the rest is history, as I say.
Then I went over to Pitt, Ohio World for a while and decided to try it on my own. So,
did you do...
myself a truck and a trailer.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask, when you were at Pitt, did you do city work or line haul?
I did city work.
City?
City.
Gotcha.
The Jersey thing.
Oh, yeah. And that's fun. Been there, done that.
Yeah. Didn't quite care for the Jersey thing too much. And
yep.
I don't blame
you. Through Ohio being a great company just wasn't quite the right fit for me and decided to try to do my own thing, which I'm glad I did. I wish I would have done it years ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. See, Eric went, he did it reverse of how everybody usually does it.
Uh-huh.
You know, he waited to be married, you know, have a wife, have a kid, and then, hey, I'm going to a truck, buy my own truck, and I'm going to go out on the road and make my money.
Yep. I was but, all established.
Yes. Yes.
That's the way to do it.
In most instances, people would say that's a recipe for disaster. But again, you know, we said this before on the shows, you know, it all starts with having, you know, the key is the woman in the house.
That's it. I was just going to say, you know, that's to me, that actually works out, you know, in my mind. You get them used to the trucking industry. You get right. them used to doing what we do and the goofy, crazy hours that we work.
Right.
And then you disappear for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Exactly.
She likes me better when I'm gone.
Right. That's, right. I found that to be, has kept my marriage very happy. My wife works during the day and I work at night. We're, you know, 34 years later, we're still, we're still going strong, you know. We see each other 2 days a week.
Yeah, it's exactly that. But yeah, like I said, like he said, his dad, they did pay.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you're busting your ass out there, heck, you know, bailing and stacking and then loading and
right.
unloading. So yep. I'll tell you what, it's hard work. It's yes. hard work. Yeah. You know, his dad now, I guess he still does a little of it, mm-hmm. but he mostly restores track.
75 years old and still at it.
Wow.
Still at it.
That's awesome.
On the downtime, he ends up restoring old tractors too.
No kidding. And
tell you what, they look like they're showroom new when he gets out of there.
That's amazing.
It's really cool. It's a really cool thing to see. And so what else is going on, Eric? You still doing the pulling thing with the trucks?
Yep, still into it.
Yeah.
That's the summer hobby. Goes into winter hobby and still doing the truck pulling thing and I'm into it. My dad's got his own truck. He's into it. And
74 years old, and he does the truck pulling thing, too.
Oh, my word. That's so great.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yep, we're both into it.
That's a good thing.
Season's just starting for that, so.
Good. Well, I hope you're able to get off now for that.
Yeah, I can. I pretty much set my own schedules.
That's,
I was going to say, you have to deal with HR there at the, you know, your own company there.
Yeah, my boss is a prick sometimes.
And I was just going to say, does your wife give you time off? Maybe that wasn't the right spot to say that.
I got to sneak home in the middle of the night and then take off with the other truck and trailer.
There you right. go. Yes, that's it. That is it. Oh, that is just so cool.
But he goes around, you know, up where we are, the local county fairs and that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's been up to upstate New York there doing those shows and stuff. So, it's not like it's your F-150 on the side of the road. You know, you just put some super swampers on it. You know,
right.
This is big time shit. You know, it breaks. It costs money.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, it's a all tube chassis truck, fiberglass body, 640 cubic inch alcohol injected motor.
Wow.
It's no joke. It's 1250 horse. Wow.
Gets you from point A to point B in a couple seconds.
Quickly.
Yes.
Yeah, real quickly.
Well, how'd you get involved in doing that? Was that something your dad was doing early on, or is that something that you found with your dad?
My dad started doing tractor pulls when he was 14 years old at the local fair in Plainfield Township, Pennsylvania, when he was 14. And
wow.
He did it all his life, and when I was, you know, of age, I started doing with tractors when I was a kid, and when I was 17, I got into doing trucks and been doing trucks ever since, and I got him into doing trucks.
That is cool.
That's how that all came about. And I run all over New York, all the way up in the Maine with it.
Wow.
Down into Maryland, over in Ohio.
That's
quite a bit with it.
You've got to have a passion for it in order, you know, to travel like that and spend that kind of time and money doing that. I imagine that's something you just really got to have in your blood. Yeah. Right. That's great. That is great. When like with your job, do you do all 48 states? Do you go into Canada or do you kind of set yourself for like, you know, East Coast or anything like that? Or
only states I do not do is California. Well, because California is California. Oregon and Washington State.
Enough said. West Coast out.
Yeah, West Coast out.
Right. Is it their laws out there with the, you know, the truck regulations and all that?
Yeah, California's the truck regulations. They got the emissions, strict on emissions.
If
a truck don't meet their emission standards out there, I believe it's 2017 and newer. pretty missions.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, like you out there, like you said, that's half the problem. The port has a problem out there because you know these independent guys, you know. Do they want to go into this big debt of buying the brand new truck to go pull containers, you know?
Right.
And that's half the problem out there, you know? I mean, with Eric.
Oregon.
Yeah. With you, you started out, you worked with a friend of yours. You know, you got your own truck and you signed on with her, right?
Yep.
You know, he signed on with her for a while and then, you know, things didn't happen right, so he literally went flat out on his own. You know, it's his company, it's his business, everything. So you know, I admire him for that.
Heck yeah!
But you know, and he's positioned himself where you know his truck, everything he's got is paid for.
Nice.
You know, he's got no debt, so he's literally in, you know, the financial position. I'm going to go to work, you know, go out for 3 weeks or whatever. Right. Or like you said, you know, he has this truck pulling thing. And I'm going to take off. You know, I've talked to him already where, you know, he was down. Where was it? Down in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Your wife and your family were on vacation. They actually drove up, picked him up from the truck stop. And he was down on the beach for, you know, 3 or 4 days.
Nice.
You know, gets back in the truck. All right, I'm going back to work.
Right.
Where was it? Virginia Beach, right?
Virginia Beach. We're doing that this summer, too.
That's awesome.
I believe.
Oh, that's cool. That is a nice way to work.
Truck stop and she picks me up.
Right. You know, at least, you know, he has that freedom now, right. You know, and you can't fault the guy for that. I mean, he's living the life the way he wants, you know?
He's living the life we all want,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what the heck? Exactly. That's fantastic.
But, yeah.
It's not all great. You got your own headaches for having your business.
Sure.
Business that you're running. Good days and bad days, but for the most part, I'm really glad I did. I wish I would have done it years ago.
Yeah.
God bless you, man.
Oh, definitely.
God bless you.
Yeah. So far, I've been pretty successful at it.
Good. But,
at least I feel I've been successful. Other people might look at it.
Well, you know what they say, Eric. Yeah, you know what they say. Who the hell cares what other people think, as long as you're happy?
Yeah, you got it.
Perception is half the battle.
Right.
You know, it's funny, you know, especially in a time like this, you know, when you look at the fuel prices and things like that you're battling with, you know, I mean, like, you know, we both Ship and I drive, you know, for Pitt. So, I mean, we don't worry about any of those things or breakdowns or any of that stuff. What kind of impact is that having on you so far this year? And what do you, you know, I'm asking you to kind of use your crystal ball to look into the rest of the year, what you see as far as how this looks going through the rest of the year. And is freight starting to dry up a little bit, or are you still doing pretty well as far as that goes and your costs that are involved?
Well, fuel prices are definitely cutting into the bottom line, you know, for me and, you know, everybody else. And especially the past couple of weeks and the past month, they've really been hurting the wallet. Freight rates have not been going up fast enough to justify the fuel cost, and business has been going down. I haul a lot for some private equipment companies. Small-time equipment companies, and they're pretty much stopped buying and selling equipment. They just can't afford to cover the fuel cost, the hauling cost, and parts. You can't get parts for stuff. And small companies I'm dealing with they're struggling, too,
right,
because of the fuel costs and, you know, the shortages on everything. And so I've been relying more on broker freight off the load boards, and that's not been great, you know, this past summer, not like other years. Other years have been booming this time of the year.
Right.
But this past year, things have just been slowing down.
Right, because everybody's, you know, their sphincter's shrinking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the economy's, exactly. Yeah, the economy's retracting a little bit, you know, and when you have inflation rate like what we have right now, and fuel prices being what they are, you know, and I guess when you get a load from a broker, you can't, I mean, can you add a fuel surcharge, or is that all figured into, you know, into your, that's into your rate?
All figured into the rate. When it comes to broker freight off the load board, there's usually not a fuel surcharge.
Right. So yeah. you eat that.
Yeah, I eat that.
And as far as, like tolls in that. I mean, you know, it's a fixed price as far as, hey, I got a load from Texas going to New York. It pays, you know, shits and giggles, $7.50. I mean, that's it. You know, that's your fuel. That's your tolls. You know, that's the price. There's right. there's nothing that's added on to it. Yeah. You know, he gets $7.50 when he gets it there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, go ahead.
So when you call in for a load, you, the broker has a set rate. Say it's $7.50. You negotiate that rate. Hey, how about $800 or $850? I have this involved. And sometimes, well, usually they'll give in $50 or $100, but.
Yeah, I mean.
That's about it. There's no fuel surcharge or anything with it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, going to New York, go over to George Washington. Was it like $100 now going over to George?
That's 125 plus now.
Wow. There you are. That's just going in.
And see, this is why I like a conversation like this, because this allows people to actually hear not just what we do for a living, but what it's like to be an independent driver who's got all of the stresses and all the problems are his. You know, from the truck to the fuel to the tolls to, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, the load pays $7.50 to, you know, we're just using numbers, you know, we're just throwing a number out there. So it's up to you. You can go any way you want to go. If you go toll roads, if you don't go toll roads, you know, it's up to you what route you take, you know, so that, you know, I guess that's how they look at it. I'm assuming that's how the broker, you know, you don't have to use toll roads if you don't want, you know, get into PA and run across the PA Pike or whatever.
Well, if you get certain areas, you don't have much of a choice but to run toll roads.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you have a Northeast, you don't have much of a choice. Or, you know, even like Pennsylvania, if you run down to Philly, you don't have much of a choice. You know, from this area going to Philly, you got the PA Turnpike or, you know, go down 309.
Or 309, right.
Traffic lights.
Or, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and that's crazy. That is crazy.
PA Turnpike is the most expensive turnpike in the country.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Outrageous what they charge.
Thanks for visiting Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Pennsylvania Turnpike, they have scales when you go through the toll booths there. Mm-hmm. If you're at 80,000 at Class 8, some places it's $1 a mile.
Yeah.
Wow.
PA Turnpike.
Yeah.
That's cash price. That's not easy pass price.
Right.
You know, it's literally $1 a mile.
Wow. That's enormous. If you run all the way across.
Yeah. I think what's the pike? 350 some miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, one way.
Yeah.
You know, that's one way.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Oh my word. You know, it's funny because, you know, doing what we do again, you know, we have easy pass. Pit pays the bill. We never see it. I don't even, you know, I just cannot imagine that. I mean, these are the costs that you have to figure in. These are the things you have to look at when you do what Eric does.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you know, for the amount, I mean, like, you know, we've had this, him and I have this conversation, you know, your tags, you know, every year he's got to go to Harrisburg, you know, go down to the farm show complex and get in line with every other truck driver that owns trucks, get his plates, get the insurance, you know, tires. Right. Maintenance, you know, he was just down for a week because he had his truck, you know, maintenanced, you know, because June's the old
the safety blitz.
So, yeah. You know, he's doing this ahead of time. That way, you know, he's not going to be pulled on the side of the road somewhere sitting there with his thumb up his ass.
Right.
And, you know, all that goes into play. And it's like I said, you know, when he leaves the house, you know, in my mind, being, you know, I do what I do, just getting paid by the mile for a company.
Right.
You know, in my mind, when he leaves the house, say Sunday, and he doesn't come back for 3 weeks, he's worked 21 days. Now, for all he's made for those 21 days, now divide that per hour and what ends up being the amount, you know, less fuel, you know,
taking all the expenses out,
and you know,
what's left is yours. And then divide that up by the hours you worked.
You know, for me, that would drive myself up a wall, you know, just those numbers going through, you know, my mind while I'm driving. So, you know, and for him, I'm, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you know, I admire him. But yeah. They, oh, heck yeah. I don't want to be them. I get to call him and he talks to me about it, you know. Right.
So what kind of, go ahead, Eric. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I would say when I take this week off, took this week off, did brakes, slack adjusters, the whole 9 yards, rebuilt the complete brake system, my truck front to back, and when I take that week off, that's no pay for the week. That's, no money coming in. That's a whole lot of money going out paying for all this stuff.
And exactly. That's all I do.
Wow.
And some guys might do some of this labor themselves, but in the same, correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but in the same instance, it's almost more feasible for you to have somebody else do it, because then you have a record of it. Hey, John's garage did all this work, in case, God forbid, something goes wrong going down the road. It's not a liability back on you.
I would say with 90% of stuff I do on my own. My brakes and the maintenance I do on my own. Some stuff I take to somewhere else.
Right. But I remember him telling me the one day he was up near State College for 3 days. I said, what the hell are you doing up there? He blew a turbo.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he had somebody run him up a turbo they picked up in, what was it, Maryland or something?
Maryland.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was in Maryland. He had the turbo. He had everything torn apart on the side of the road until they got there with the turbo. And he put the damn truck back together himself and went down the road.
That's amazing.
If not, there's an added expense, towing bill, going to somebody's garage, waiting a couple days, six days for a turbo. I'm older than him. I'm at the age where I don't need that aggravation. Give me it from A to B, turn me around, I'm coming home.
Remember, Brian, three years ago, I was out in Colorado, I had a fuel pump go bad on the truck.
That's,
wow.
Remember, I limped it into a dealership and changed a fuel pump right in their parking lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pulled the fuel pump off, went into the dealership.
Yeah, because there was a quart charge on the fuel pump. Here, I need this.
Yep, swapped right in the parking lot. And,
wow.
You're independent. You're pretty much on your own. Yeah. You break down out on the road, it's all on you. It's on nobody else.
Yeah, and nowadays anymore, you break down the road, and it's like you're all alone. I mean, it's not like it was years and years ago, when, somebody actually pull over and say, need a hand or, anything I could do to help, you are on your own.
Yeah. Now they see somebody sitting on the side of the road, they just get in the other lane and keep going.
Exactly. You don't even hear them on the radio say, hey, you need anything,
Yeah. It's a shame. It's a shame how it's changed. What kind of freight do you
home?
Go ahead.
I can say when I get home, I go over equipment. I make sure everything's 100% before I leave and go on the road. Everything is in tip-top shape as far as I can tell.
Yeah, because, it's like us. The wheels ain't turning, you ain't being paid.
Yeah, if the wheels aren't turning, you aren't earning. That's the way it is. That's the industry. Exactly. That is, what kind of freight do you haul, Eric? Do you do anything?
Freight? I have a 53-foot step-deck trailer with a 5-foot beaver tail flip over ramps. I mainly haul equipment, skid steers, bulldozers. I haul quite a bit of equipment out of New Holland Agriculture down in New Holland.
Down in New Holland, right. Yeah. Yep.
New Holland, PA.
Yeah. Know where it's at.
Yep. Actually going down there Monday morning for my load out of there. Five stops, North Carolina, South Carolina, down to Georgia.
I mean, he's actually, texted me a couple different pictures when he pulled some government stuff.
Wow, no kidding.
Big ass tanks.
Nice.
I do quite a bit of military stuff too.
Right.
But this past few months, that has slowed down. Yeah. Worse.
Yeah. He's like kind of my insight. I'm starting to haul a lot more military stuff. I'm like, oh shit, what shit's gonna hit the fan? I mean, literally, that's what he was doing, moving stuff around. And they were positioning stuff for a certain, I forget what that was about and how long ago it was, but he was telling me, he says, what does Maine need with this? But hey, I'm taking it up.
Right. As long as they're paying.
Right.
When I don't want to get into too much stuff. You wouldn't believe what's in certain areas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it like calling for the, I'm kind of curious, what's it like calling for the government like that? I mean, is it a good gig? Do they pay all right and that kind of stuff?
It is a good gig. Mm-hmm. They pay pretty well. And then my brokers I deal with for the government, they pay right away. I have my money in my account literally within an hour after I turn in the freight bill.
Wow. That's great.
So.
Yep, I can understand that.
And that's why you run with a lot of brokers, because of the idea of actually being paid, correct? You know, you've gotten hung to dry on a couple bills, or, you know, has that ever happened?
That has not happened for me yet.
Good.
It has happened for other people that I know.
Right.
But I got established with five brokerage companies, and I have a certain broker I deal with on a regular basis for each company. I mean, they call me up. I talk to them almost every day. Hey, where are you going to be? Where are you at? Where are you heading? And if they have a load in that area that I'm interested in, they let me know about it, and we'll go from there.
That's awesome.
Like, I'll be leaving Monday morning for Georgia. Look at my five stops. I'll be in Georgia Wednesday morning. During that time, I'll be in contact with my five brokers I deal with on a regular basis, seeing what's come out of Georgia. And nine times out of ten, I'll have a load out of there before I even get there.
Good.
That is good.
That's key, too, because once you get there, now you're...
You got to have return freight.
Right.
You can't afford deadhead miles.
$7 a gallon, you're not, you know, all right, I'm just going to go 700 miles back home.
Right.
There are times that they don't have anything. Mm-hmm. You have to hop on a load board and find something off the load board.
Gotcha.
And, correct me if I'm wrong. Correctly, yeah, I was going to say, you're looking on the internet, on the load board, and like sometimes, you know, say you're in Texas or whatever, you might take a load that only pays $200-$300 going to Atlanta or something just to get you positioned somewhere else that you might be able to get a load, right?
Yeah, depending where you're at, you'll take a cheaper load to get you a better position.
Right.
Into a better area,
more lucrative, more freight flowing, you know, area.
Right.
You know, because you could be in bungfuck Egypt and, you know.
Where's that?
It's north of Whitehall.
And there are exceptions to that. It's like Florida or in northeastern part of the United States. I make sure I get enough money. You know, pay my mileage into Florida and enough money to bounce out of Florida, because you can't get nothing out of Florida.
Really?
You almost lose money getting loads out of Florida.
Yeah, they're like inbound states.
Yep, there's nothing coming out of Florida flatbed wise. A lot going in, but nothing coming out.
Wow.
You got to make sure you get enough money going into Florida to cover your cost to bounce out of Florida.
Gotcha. I had no idea.
Cover your cost.
I mean, you kind of know that's how New England is going to be. You know, most stuff's going in, not a lot coming out. But
yep, New England, you got to get enough money going in New England, and I don't even bother looking for a load. I will just bounce out of New England into New York State or down here to Pennsylvania to get a load. I won't even mess around with trying to fly the load out of there. It's just, it don't pay, and it's not worth the time. You just make sure you get enough money to go in.
To cover your costs to get out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get a load and get the hell out and get a load somewhere else.
Right.
Sure. Is there an area of the country that you like to be in more than others? Like, you know, are there areas that, you know, besides being home? I mean, you know, we all like being home, but besides being here, you know, at home, is there a place that you in the country you find that you don't mind going there? You know, that's a pretty nice area.
I love Ohio area, Ohio West, all the way out to Nebraska and everything in between, up into Minnesota. You know, down into Kentucky, and I love the Midwest out there. It's really a nice area. People are really nice.
Yeah.
As far as the freight's decent out that way, fuel's cheaper. And as far as hotspots for freight, like North Carolina is a hotspot. If you get a load out of North Carolina, you can always get a good paying load out of North Carolina. And North Carolina is a big hotspot. Kentucky is a big hotspot too.
No kidding.
For getting freight, yep.
Huh.
For the type of freight I deal with.
Yeah. It's just funny because those are areas that I never really thought of as you know, being,
yeah, you
but
think North yeah. Carolina, furniture capital of the world, you know, you wouldn't think, you know. You wouldn't think open.
Yeah, I don't haul furniture, you know, yeah, but North Carolina is a very good hotspot.
Huh, that's really cool.
And along with Kentucky, a lot of steel plants in Kentucky. I haul steel sheets, steel coils.
And that must be an adventure hauling coils.
Load out of.
Yeah. Yeah, that does have to be an interesting thing to be hauling coils and stuff like that. That's a lot of work.
You're not moving them around once they put them on your trailer, that's for damn sure.
That is it. And you got that right.
And you don't want them to move around.
Hey, coils are freaking dangerous.
Yeah. I've heard that from a couple people. Yeah.
And coils are very hard on equipment because you got that, you know, 44,000 pounds. In literally a 2-foot section of your trailer.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. I never thought about that before.
Yeah. You know, you're thinking you and me, you know, pulling a 42,000 pound trailer. That's fit, you know, across 53 feet. Like he's right. Like, you know, 2-foot wide coil. There's your 40 grand right there. Yeah. That could be, that's,
yep. And,
definitely.
You know, most people, they look at a trailer going down with a coil on it. What's he driving so slow for?
Yeah.
The truck looks like it's empty. Meanwhile, you got a 44,000 pound coil sitting there.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
It brings the pucker power up just a bit.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. You know, all you need is one chain to break, and it's like an oh shit moment.
Boy, you got that right. How do you like? You know, once wintertime hits, is there do you kind of stay out of the big snow belt areas in the wintertime, or do you? It doesn't bother you. You'll go anywhere.
Believe it or not, when it gets extremely cold, I try to get out in the Minnesota and the Wisconsin area. Freight rates for flatbeds actually go up.
No kidding. I'm just sitting there. I'm thinking my son went to college in Minnesota, and the first year he was there, I called him because all I heard was all these stories about how cold it gets, and I said to him, Jack, how cold is it? And he's like, Dad, it's like 30 below. I'm like, dude, you would not catch me going to college there.
So I'll get a load up in North Dakota or mm-hmm. Minnesota and, you know, get a load and get a load out of there. You're not spending a long time there. But I watch the weather a lot, too. I avoid storms. But as far as the cold air, I'll deal with the cold, but I try to avoid the storms, naturally.
Right.
But the flatbed rates actually goes up. Because nobody wants to deal with the cold.
Wow, that makes sense.
And, you know, especially if flatbed work.
Wow, that's another one of those things that doing what we do, we don't, you know, we don't deal with those things. We don't think about those aspects of it. Yeah, I mean, like every other truck driver in the wintertime, we watch the weather, but we know where we're going for the most part. We're in a contained area. You know, we're in, you know, PA and Jersey and Maryland and, you know, what. I guess Virginia.
Yeah, we're going A to B, B to A.
You're right, doing what we do. You know, we just, you know, but I cannot imagine looking at the weather and I don't know. I just, it's, you know, because what I experienced this winter with the weather people, weatherman, AccuWeather, everybody, nobody seemed to have it right. I mean, it was,
Yeah, that's it. You were calling off for no reason.
Well, you know what? It's cold out. I'm calling off one way or the other. But go ahead, Aaron.
You get in other parts of the country, and they seem to be a lot more accurate with their weather. You get in, in the east here and in the northeast, everybody jumps a gun. It's cloudy. Oh, it's going to be a foot of snow.
Yeah.
Everybody jumps a gun, and they're wrong every time. You get in another part of the country, and I don't know, it just seems to me like they're more accurate. They know more what's going on.
Well, you know, and to me, you sound like you're alluding to the Midwest there, you know, where they got tornadoes coming through. So they got to have their shit together.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's got to know how to read a map.
Well, you know, it's just one of those funny things. You know, this winter was just horrible here in PA for that. You know, it started out, you're looking like for the whole week, and you start looking on Sunday night, what's the week going to look like? You know, it's going to be, you know, cold and, you know, whatever, you know, cloudy. And by the time, you know, Wednesday or Thursday gets here, it's like the day before, all of a sudden we're going to have, you know, 6 inches or 8 inches or 10 inches or 12 inches of snow. How did we not know this was coming and building, you know, 2 days ago? You know, so I could have planned my day off.
You know, You know, Pennsylvania's weather forecast. There's a chance of precipitation 0 to 41 inches today.
Right, exactly.
Partly sunny skies and one plow.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that that in PA over the past few years they've started doing this thing where anytime there's a hint of snow, anytime there's a hint of snow,
it reminds you of the school districts.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna close down the school district because it might snow.
Because it might snow. I mean, what do you see on the signs on the highway in PA anymore? Oh, you know, speed limits are down to 45 miles an hour. It hasn't even started yet. Speed limits are down to 45 miles an hour, and you know, after midnight, no commercial vehicles.
It's right, like, we're in a tier.
We're
two.
We're not even doing anything.
Right, we're in a tier two. No empties. No doubles. Right. You know,
it's
you know
crazy.
Tier three. Nobody.
And I guess I'm kind of curious. Is it that way? Like when you get into the Midwest and, you know, in those areas where you really do kind of have a snow belt where, you know, is it like that out that way, Eric?
No, nothing like that at all. It's a different world.
So America, what you're saying, America starts maybe 600 miles outside of PA.
Yeah. And the drivers, truck drivers, four-wheel drivers are more sensible. Not all of them. You still got your nitwits in these trucks, but a lot of them are a lot more sensible.
Yeah,
and it's just different. And also out in the Midwest, you know, it's a lot more flat land. It's not like rolling across 80 and in the snow. We're up and down the mountains, and just it's just a different world.
Right. I know there are hardier people out there, and they are. You're right. You know, they are really friendly people out there. Like I said, Jack went to college in Minnesota, and when we went out to drop him off, we went out to pick him up because I wasn't going out in the middle because I'm not hanging out in the wintertime in Minnesota just to go see the kids. It's like, dude, I'm here. If you want to come home, catch a flight.
Hop
you know.
A plane.
But the people out there are really nice. I mean, that is one thing I will say. The Midwesterners are very nice people. You know, in PA, you know, people can be a little keep to themselves.
Standoffish,
oh, yeah. You know. So it's different out there, but it's actually really friendly, very nice. If it weren't for the weather, I wouldn't mind living there. You know, it's like the weather for, you know, 6 months out of the year is like, I don't know, you know, that's not my thing. You know, I'm not a snowmobiler. I'm not a, you know, in any of that stuff. So, but.
You don't like 40 below weather?
Not if I can help it.
It catches your breath when you walk out into it.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So then,
Let me tell you.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna say when it gets that cold out there, you know, 30, 40 below, sometimes it's tough keeping the truck up the temperature inside here when you're trying to sleep.
Oh, I bet.
Right.
Do you run an APU unit?
No, I don't.
Okay, I was just curious. I didn't know, you know, if you did or not. I was gonna ask, you know. But so you idle your truck apparently, you know, of course, you know, 40 degrees out,
yeah,
you know, 40 below.
Yeah, when it's that cold, you don't shut the truck off. It just stays on.
Right. You don't want to have to try and restart it at 40 below.
No.
You know?
No. It gets that cold, nobody shuts anything off.
Right.
Ain't that the truth?
It just won't start.
Right. Right.
Got to make sure you have fuel full tanks, too.
All the time.
You don't want to be on I could probably get 8 hours out of this.
Yeah. We're not going down that road.
All of a sudden, there's 2 inches of ice on the inside of the windshield.
Yeah.
Evidently, he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, luckily, knock on wood, I've never had an issue.
Oh, that's awesome.
Keep up on the fuel additive and keep up on your filters. And I just never had an issue. So
that's cool. That is cool.
Funny you should say that about the additives. Now, I know, you know, at our place, you know, we get it dropped off by the tanker, and you know, in the wintertime they put additives in. And it just seems like, you know, on these Macs we got, the fuel mileage according to the computer goes and it shits the bed. You know, we go from 7.5, 8 miles a gallon down to 4.5, maybe 5. you know, when they're putting these additives in the fuel, supposedly. And then we're also seeing, I mean, I've actually seen where, you know, we're going through those, the filters, you know, fuel filters, you know, we have those ones that are on the frame, you know, on the frame rail with the open glass there, you mm-hmm. know, the canister style that you can actually see in. And, you know, like we used to have a PJX on the Internationals years ago. And you seem to, you know, experience that same issue, or, you know, I mean, you know, I was just curious, you know, because, you know, you did allude to always keeping your fuel filters changed. Have you run across that? You get shittier mileage in the winter or with these additives?
Well, you always get shittier mileage in the winter because of mm-hmm. different blends in the fuel.
Okay.
You drop mileage. Also in the winter, the air is a lot denser. It's actually harder to push through the air in the winter mm-hmm. than it is when it's hot.
Yeah.
The air is thicker and denser. Mm-hmm. Your fuel mileage drops there.
Do that. You should be drafting in the winter. Yeah, hold that following distance. You should be drafting, Dean.
I live in an old house. It's drafty enough. Drafty. That's all the draft I need.
Okay. You
know, plus all your oils in the rears and the
right.
You know, the hubs and the axles. Everything's cold. It's harder to drag. It's harder for everything to turn
right.
when it's cold.
Back. Yeah, it makes sense.
Versus, you know,
sure
hot weather. That's one of the reasons why your fuel mileage drops. You know, your rolling resistance drops, mm-hmm. or your rolling resistance increases in the winter.
Yeah,
because of the cold, you know, the wind gotcha, drag man. And oils being
it's cold. Like driving with the brake on almost.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah. And the motors don't run nearly as efficient when it's real cold out.
Right. Because if it's, you know, 20 below out, they're getting a wind chill of probably like 35 coming through the intercooler, you know, through the intercooler and radiator. Sure. So yeah, okay.
Hmm. Correct.
Gotcha.
Every now and then, Brian does say something right.
Yeah, every once in a while.
And I don't have any clear bowls. I only have spin-on fillers on this truck, and I can't really see what's in it.
I got gotcha. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, I can't think of the name what they actually call those specific filters, but I know they're clear. You know, it's a canister where you can actually see the fuel and see the filter. And then it says, you know, yes. change filter at this line. And usually you're about an inch and a half above it. Yeah.
You're at the top, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But
it was just all part of the maintenance thing. And, you know, every 15,000 doing oil change and you're changing fuel filters is something you got to keep up on. And,
right.
Well, carry extras with you just in case. But
yeah, in your case, yeah, you never know.
Right.
I mean, you know, you could just gel up, you know, somewhere. And at least you have the filters, you can change them out. Yeah, sure.
And I carry spare filters. I carry extra diesel with a heavy dose of additive in, you know, in a canister, you know, just in case.
It's like the Boy Scouts, got to be prepared.
Yep, be prepared.
Yep, got to be prepared.
Have you ever had any experiences on the road that that it's hard for you to explain, or hard for you to, you know, like in your own mind, you're like, how in the world did that happen, or how does, you know, what happened here? Or, you know, I mean, you're out there, you know, all the time, you know, and I'm always curious what other drivers, what kind of experiences they have on the road, what kind of experiences they've gone through. And I was just kind of wondering that about, you know, for you.
Yeah. Sometimes when you see accidents, you like the aftermath of an accident, or you see your truck way up on an embankment somewhere, it's like, how the hell did that truck get up there?
Yes.
Well, stuff like that, just stupid stuff, but nothing really out of the ordinary. No UFOs or nothing.
Right.
No UFOs, no, big, no Bigfoot, no black dog.
No Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I saw a black cat last night.
Oh, yeah.
Scared the crap out of me. I was like, no. I was on my way back to, I was on my way back home to go home from my last run, and this black cat goes across the road. I was like, nah, come on.
Come on, man.
Not now. It's Friday night. I don't need anything.
And the worst thing was, it was 13th. Friday the 13th.
I know, right? I'm thinking the same thing. It's just one of those weird things, you know. It's like it just stuck in my head. This stupid little black cat goes running across the road. I'm like, that nut. And I just left Harrisburg. I was still on Grayson. Right there where the old railroad track was. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I'm Pothole Central.
I have come across a moose standing right in the middle of the road up in Vermont already in the middle of the night.
Wow.
That'll put a dent in your truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You see something out in the distance in the highway, these eyes, and it's like, what the heck is that? You're getting closer and closer. Is that a deer? That's way too freaking big for a deer.
Way too tall for a deer.
And you just about come to a stop and drive past it, and a moose will not move out of the road. He will just stand there and
really?
Watch.
No kidding.
Watch it drive past. It will not run. It's like, man, I would have won a waffle that thing.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
I totaled a truck.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, a deer does enough damage, you know?
Yeah. You don't realize how big a moose is. You see one in a while on the side of the road or middle of the road.
Right. Yeah. When you're sitting in a big truck and you're looking eye to eye with the thing, it's like, this ain't good. Yeah, they're enormous. Oh, my word. I cannot imagine. Those things got to go, what, 1,500 pounds?
Yeah.
I would imagine, big bull moose.
Really know, but they're big.
They're big. Enormous.
Let's just say they quarter them up, they haul them out for after they get shot. They don't just drag them.
So, right, exactly.
Yeah, they don't come out in one piece.
Oh, no.
That's for darn sure. That's for darn sure.
I come across quite a few bear going through a... across 68 down here in West Virginia and Maryland, through Cumberland.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Black bear going across there.
Really?
And going across 68 and down 79 there in West Virginia. Quite a few black bear in that area.
That was talking about that area. That's when I first started running the road for Pitt. And I was coming from Pittsburgh to Cumberland. And I was never on that end of 68 off of 79. And it was just one of those weird things. Around here we see, deer crossing signs all the right. time. There was mountain goat crossings.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, what the heck? What's a sign I was not expecting, dude.
And how do they get those mountain goats to go to that sign?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering too. I was waiting for the crossing guard to come out. But that was one of those. It was just a funny thing. I was like, "That's weird." I guess other places, other states have other animals other than just deer crossings. That's my limited truck driving experiences. Right. When you run just a certain run a region instead of nationwide.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I run across 70, 68 quite a bit. I will not run a PA turnpike from Harrisburg West. I will drop down, run across 70, 68. We'll cross you quite a bit.
Oh, my word. Yeah, Matt, that's got to be a huge saving for you.
Yeah, it's a big savings. Just kind of sucks here at 80,000 plus going across there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of mountains.
Yeah, but look at it this way. Once you get to the top of the mountain,
it's all downhill from there.
It's downhill to the next one.
Oh,
that's
my
usually
word.
The hardest part, downhill.
Right.
It is holding it back, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Have you experienced any trucks in the runaways there?
No, not there.
I've actually seen two of them, in the runaways and on 68 there, and I'm like, why? I just don't get it, But, yeah, maybe, didn't know what was going on or what, but, the guy was in front of me, I'd say a good mile. I could see his taillights, and I just saw the taillights veer off, and all of a sudden he went into the runaway.
Wow.
And it wasn't like he was on the brakes or anything. He went Sidling Hill, that last mountain coming west. We went over top where they have that, visitor pull off and all that, right. You can see this for 80 miles and we went down the other side and he just, all of a sudden the taillights just went to the right. I'm like, why? I never understood it, I radioed, but of course he didn't have a radio. Well, that was the end of that, called 911, said you got a truck in the runaway. Is he all right? Yeah, he's all right.
I guess.
I don't know why he went in there, but, he went in there. No, I was just curious because the one pitcher saw on the internet, the kids were sleigh riding down one of the freaking runaways.
Nice. Hope nobody needs that now.
Exactly. Exactly.
That'll be a wake up call.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I've never seen a truck run away. I've seen trucks in the sand piles already.
Right.
I've never seen one actually run away.
Mm. Yeah, that's another one of those oh shit moments.
You got that right.
Yeah. Blame a lot of it on the drivers, just driving too fast, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, inexperienced.
And I think these
go ahead.
Inexperienced. And I think a lot of problems is these new trucks these days. You know, inexperienced drivers getting these new trucks and they ride like a car. You have no idea how fast you're going. You can't feel nothing in them.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like you're driving a Cadillac down a road. You don't realize how fast you're going into a turn. Or, you know, or down a mountain. And,
right.
You know, these trucks are so quiet and so smooth. And
well, I can't say that for a Mac.
Well, we have day cabs.
Yeah. But those hoods still rattle. I don't like care what crazy. You say. Day cab or not, those hoods rattle. But the big, you know.
These newer over-the-road trucks, it's like you're driving a Cadillac now.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't feel nothing.
Right.
You know, versus the older stuff, you could feel stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You knew you were driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just, I don't know. That's why I think a lot of problems with accidents and wrecks these days with the trucks is you can't feel the truck. You don't, you know, quiet and smooth. You don't know nothing.
Well, sure. Right. And, you know, while they're going down the highway too, you know, you get a couple of these guys that are binge watching their TV shows that are,
you see that going down
the road.
Oh, yeah, you see that a lot. You've got the laptop up on the dashboard or watching the video or watching something going down the highway in the middle of the night.
Yep. That is one of my biggest pet peeves is when I see these guys go by and they've got their foot up on the dash, you know, and I see that kind of stuff. And it's like, and you see it in big trucks, you see people in cars. And I just think to myself, you know, if anything were to happen and you hit something or something hits you,
right,
your knee is going up through your chin. You know, I don't know what people are thinking sometimes. It's like this is not your lazy boy at home. You know,
some of them, you see them how they're driving. You think they are in a lazy
boy. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
That's definitely for sure.
I don't want to pinpoint anybody out, but you see that a lot in Volvo trucks.
Yeah.
You do. You're right. I wonder why they have that reputation.
Yeah, don't know. Maybe we can get Stevie on the phone.
Maybe.
I like how you just danced around that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, not calling anybody out.
No, we're not.
Just the Volvo.
Yeah, it's just the Volvo. Just the guy in his Volvo. Oh God!
So did your
any other questions, guys?
Yeah, did your wife? I wanted to ask you how did your wife adjust pretty well to you when you made the change from you know being a regional driver or a city driver LTL to doing what you're doing now? Was that a big adjustment for the family, or did that work out pretty well for you as far as you know?
Yes, that was a huge adjustment. My son was young, and my wife works close to home, only a mile away, so she had to take over the role of everything. It was a huge adjustment.
Yeah, and you know, again, that's what you say about, you know, it all starts at home with the wife. You know,
it really
if you
does.
Don't, you know, she doesn't understand what's going on,
right?
You know, because you get some of these up the high maintenance women that. You know, why are you gone a week?
Here goes Chip. He's destroying our freaking female audience here.
I'm not. You know what I mean by high maintenance.
Have you not learned anything this year?
Look, I watched the HR tape. It's not happening.
But other end of it, when stuff goes on, I have no problem taking off when I want. And
that's cool.
You know, once you get established, you know, check starts rolling, and she liked the money end of it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
I'm definitely definitely doing better financially doing what I'm doing now than I was ever working for a company.
That's fantastic. I'm
Maybe
glad
not this
to
year
that.
With fuel prices.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think that's going to, what do you think, where that's all going to go this year? I mean, I know I'm asking you a crystal ball question, and I know none of us know for sure, but what are you anticipating for this year?
It's got to stop. Fuel prices got to level off. They got to drop because it's killing the economy.
Yes.
If freight rates for everybody matched what the fuel went up, it would devastate the economy.
Yes.
I mean, it would literally devastate the economy, I think.
I agree with you. I really do.
I mean, everything's skyrocketing in the grocery stores. Mm-hmm. You know, Brandon, I don't haul that stuff, but, you know, I have a lot of building materials and mm-hmm. equipment. And, you know, building materials, you go into Home Depot, it's nuts. And if, you know, the rates, hauling rates would go up to justify the fuel increase, it would literally devastate it. Because, bottom line, everything requires diesel from manufacturing to hauling the stuff,
right? It all,
you know, everything right down to the farmers growing the stuff and sure. planting stuff in the field.
Right. It all starts. It all starts with the oil.
Yeah.
I mean, you need the oil to make your plastic. You need the oil to make your tires.
You need the oil to make your pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
This is stuff that people don't realize. Your pharmaceuticals. Yes. Your pharmaceuticals are going to go through the roof.
Right. You know. You got the farmer there. You know. You don't think he's going to pick corn by hand, do you?
Right.
You know, the John Deere might get, you know, 40 bushel a gallon.
Right.
You know, I don't know, you know, how to justify that. But,
right.
you know, it all starts with that.
I don't want to get political. Well, this idiot Brandon okay. shut down the pipeline and everything. It just.
Oh, this is a non-political show.
Whatsoever.
Yeah, right. This is a non-political right. show. Let's go, Brandon. Start drilling the fucking oil and start getting it. 2 years ago, we were energy independent. Oil was down to about 10 cents a barrel. Okay? So that's how independent we were. There's a political statement out there.
Well, I say my last 3 years of Trump were my best years. Best years of business so far.
I've heard that. My kid bought his boat. You know, we went down to Hummelstown, picked up his boat, and that guy down there, you know, this was when the COVID was going on, and Richie Levine lived right down near the boat there, the boat place, and he had said the same thing. He has had his best year, you know, with boats. Right. I mean, literally, these boats come up from Arkansas, apparently, mm-hmm. and they're a hot name boat, and he says... The boats that are sitting there on the trailer, he says, I have every one of them sold. He says, that black one?
Wow.
He says, that's for a professional fisherman that's coming today to pick up the boat.
By the end of this summer, I wonder how many there are going to be for sale again.
Nah, I doubt. I really doubt because believe it or not, the dealer actually called my kid, you know, they called and asked if he wanted to trade his boat in. He could get more for his boat now than what he paid for it 2 years ago.
No kidding.
Yeah, because the, you know.
You probably can't get them.
Yeah, sure. the manufacturing, you know, everything's, you know, slowed up.
Right.
You know, and the demand, it's just like the cars. It's the same thing. Saying,
look at used cars. I wonder what I could get for mine if I could charge them for the mileage.
Yeah, I
got 345,000 miles on my Toyota.
I'll tell you right now, I don't even think the mileage would be an issue.
I know, that's what I mean. It might even be a plus.
It runs as inspected, we'll get you $5,000.
Exactly.
You know, you only paid 12 30 years ago.
The problem is then I have to replace
it. Right. It's just like selling a house too. Right. You know, I can get $550 for my house, but what am I going to buy?
Now I got to go buy another house. Right. You know? Exactly.
You know, it's like you said, it's a downward spiral. And I'm with Eric on this. They've just let it get out of hand.
It has.
Then they have no idea how to rein it back in.
Well, they do.
It's got to course correct.
They know how to rein it back, and there's an unwillingness.
There's an unwillingness. Yeah. But
I mean, I was listening to a show last night, and the one lady was talking about, she was talking to a farmer. He has 600 acres. A year ago, he spent $40,000 to fertilize those 40 acres or those 600 acres. This year, he's looking at $100,000 to $120,000 to fertilize those same 600 acres.
And provided he could get the fertilizer.
Exactly. That's
you get the
fertilizer. Yep.
Nitrogen. They inject nitrogen in the ground. It's a type of fertilizer that has gone up 200%.
It's crazy.
200% that has gone up.
Yeah.
And there's a shortage of fertilizers. Actually, a shortage of urea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The
urea is used in making diesel exhaust fluid.
Yep. Yeah, the DEF. Yeah.
Yep. Major ingredient in fertilizer. And there's a huge shortage of that. And, prices of fertilizer skyrocketed. I know from the farming end of it, through my dad, the price of the stuff is just going through the roof.
Yeah. God bless our farmers, because, man, if we don't have them, we're going to be in a world of hurt.
Yeah, if we don't have them, you can't get enough buckets for the prepare with HML.
HLL. Whatever. What do you mean HML? What show are you on?
Give me a break.
What the heck, Eric? What's with this guy?
I throw a plug in, it's the wrong letters. I'm still sticker shock.
Back at fuel prices, they got to level out.
The
city is going to come out with all this electric stuff. We don't have an infrastructure for electric.
Exactly.
Where are you going to plug a truck in at?
Right, right.
Where are you going to plug, 100,000 trucks in at?
Right.
You plug 100,000.
Yep.
I say you plug 100,000 trucks in, what's going to power that?
Yes.
1.21 gigawatts.
It will. Sadly, this is the thing that I don't understand. And it's like what you just said makes so much sense. And it's what I have said myself. I've had the same thought. We don't have – California has rolling brownouts and blackouts every summer. Texas is talking – yeah. And you're going to take what would you say we have as far as cars on the road, cars and trucks in the United States? I don't know, 250 million cars? I don't know. We have three –
sounds like a good number.
Yeah, we'll just say 200 million cars. I don't know. But when everybody goes to plug their cars in – and we haven't done nothing to expand our grid, our electric grid. Yeah. It's like, who are we kidding? I mean, we're living in dreamland here. This is like Alice in Wonderland, and we have jumped through the rabbit hole. It's like, what's going on? It's like nobody thinks about this stuff yet. We're pushing this, and we've got states that are making laws that are like, by 2030, we're not going to be making, you're not going to be able to buy a regular combustion engine vehicle here in this state. Have you done anything to increase your electric grid? Have you done anything? No.
Right.
This is what we're doing.
Literally going to take 15 years. If they started today, it'd probably be about 15 years till they upgraded the power grid that they could accept everybody plugging their cars and truck in.
If they work as fast on that as they do the highways in Pennsylvania, it'll be more than 15 years. No offense, PennDOT. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just don't have the infrastructure for infrastructure for electric. And what powers most of these freaking power plants?
Yeah,
exactly.
Coal.
Yeah.
Exactly. And how long does it take to recharge? How long is it going to take you if you drive if we do this with tractor trailers and you drive it 400 miles or 600 miles, whatever the batteries will hold, how long will that take you to recharge? Cuz right now you can pull into a truck stop and fuel up in 15, 20 minutes and be done and be on your way, pay your bill, grab something to eat and be on your way. How long are you going to be having to sit there while you charge your truck?
Well, our company has those straight trucks.
Right.
And they were saying, they have 150 mile radius.
That's it.
150 miles. And then they got to be recharged.
Right.
And they're recharged for
the Newark and back, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. For 4 hours.
What are you going to do the rest of the day?
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
One customer off.
I mean,
I had a charge.
That's great if you're literally driving just around town, but you can't go nowhere. You can't really go anywhere, any great distance. And that's what I don't comprehend either. I mean, just think about this. Take the I-80 corridor or the I-95 corridor. You and me both know, hey, 14 and a half hours, you can be in Florida sitting down by Orlando. But now you're going to add in, I have to stop for get my battery recharged, and you're down there at south of the border and Pedro says, we got all the chargers filled. You can't believe it's going to be a while here to get your charge done. And then, like I said, I think they're trying to jam it down your throat way too early. They're ahead of the curve.
They're not even prepared for it.
They're not even prepared for it. And this should be a segmented thing where, okay, if this is the way we're going, show us some movement on what you're doing to improve it. Not like, okay, we're going to turn the key off on the combustion engine and we're going to be putting down the road with our Prius.
Right.
You know, and we're only going to get, you know, 600 miles and that's the end of it. Now we got to charge it for 12 hours.
Yeah. If you're lucky, you get 600 miles out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just can't comprehend that.
Yeah. Not now. At this point.
Somebody was telling me, you know, that the FMCA or Pothole Pete Buttigieg there wants to put the trucks down to 60 miles an hour. Yep. I said, you just might as well put, you know, grooves in the middle of the road. We're just going to have slot car racing like we did back in the 70s and 80s there. You know, just sit at home with your little remote control and, you know, feed the throttle. I says, that's not going to jam shit up now, is it?
How would that affect you, Eric, you know, being an independent, if they put regulators on all the new trucks?
Well, you don't have new, so.
Well, I know, but I don't know what they'll do. I don't know if they'll grant.
Right. I'm sure we're going to try to screw everybody.
Right. Exactly. So that's why I'm kind of curious.
Honestly, if they put it at 65 or 70, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Well, I think it would jam up traffic, but personally, my average speed is 67 miles an hour. I don't speed even to 70. I'm usually running along 67 miles an hour.
Right. And that's good. That's good. You know, it's just, I think what I had read was they were talking like 60, 63 miles an hour for big trucks.
That's too slow.
It is too slow.
That's too slow. I would actually literally.
That's like following ABF before they got turned up.
What were you saying, Eric?
For a truck like mine, that would be inefficient. 63 miles an hour. I'd literally have to drop a full gear or a gear and a half. I got 18 speed, so.
Okay.
I'd literally have to drop a gear or a gear and a half to run at 63 miles an hour down the highway.
Wow. It's crazy.
That would just, it really wouldn't be efficient for me.
Right. And I don't know what is.
I run that slow.
Sure. And I don't know what the FMCSA is actually thinking about. What is their thought? What is, you know, the transportation secretary thinking about? You know, what is their reason for wanting to do this? I mean, I haven't seen any. You know, discussion as to why we're you know wanting to go down this road, and I just you know I can't understand it because all it's going to do is like you said it's going to backlog everything. I mean it's just you know you think it's bad enough now with these shortages that we have, supply chain issues, quote unquote, air bunnies, whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm just so tired of using that's an excuse for everything anymore. Oh, it's supply chain issues. Right. Yeah, we're just going to How about if we just blame the people who it needs to be blamed on, you know? It's not just supply chain issues. It's issues everywhere.
What's going to happen when you get out in Utah or Texas where it's 85 miles an hour, you're doing 60 miles an hour right-hand lane.
Exactly.
You're doing 85, 90 miles an hour, you're doing 60.
I was going to say, you're gonna have to have some kind of slow flashing device on the back of your truck because these morons that are going to do 85 are going to run right in the ass end of you because you're going so slow, and it's going to be your fault for being on the road.
Just a bad mix.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. You know, it's just, it's like there is a lack of understanding as to how big this country actually is. And how long it takes you to get from coast to coast. There just seems to be no common sense when these people start talking, because it's always people who don't do this for a living who talk about doing the things like this.
Yeah,
and that's what it is a pet peeve of mine that I've just, it's like, if you haven't driven, what business do you have being the transportation secretary? If you don't know the first thing about driving a big truck, what business do you have telling other people how to do their job? You know, I know it sounds terrible, and sometimes it sounds like you're just arrogant about it. No, it's not that. It's that I've you know done this for 30 years, and you get the people who don't know what they're talking about, people who don't do it, who haven't, as Randy would say, had stick time,
right?
You know. And they want to tell you what to do and how to do it. It's like, you know what? It's like Shipper always says, I got five words for you.
Take a ride with me.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
get
walk the walk before you talk the talk.
Right, exactly.
It's like going to a doctor, telling a doctor how to do an operation on yourself.
Right.
Yes.
But you got no clue. Just, you have no idea.
Right, yeah. Right.
Unless you slept at a Holiday Inn last night.
I was thinking that same thing, dude. I was just going to say that. I've been on club. I've been on PubMed. You know, I know what's wrong with me, doc. This is what you need to know. Yeah, I already looked it up. I'm good to go. You know, I'm only going to pay you half because this is, you know,
right.
You
didn't have to diagnose
it. I diagnosed it already. You just need to give me the medication.
And the doctor, stands there and says, "Hey, have a Coke and a smile."
Yeah. Finish the line, buddy.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, he told me to. Yes.
A bit ago, you touched on the roads.
Yeah.
You know, Pennsylvania has got the worst roads in the country.
Mm. Well, we're good for something.
A lot of states.
Highest toll roads.
State has the worst. Highest tolls and the worst roads in the country.
Wow.
Joker, and a triple.
We're number one at something.
That's it. We're number one.
I mean, these roads are just horrendous.
Yeah. Oh, it from guys who drive out 78 every night. Yes, I totally agree with you, dude.
It's a never-ending project.
He tells me, he says, "I don't know how you can go to the same place every night, the same road." I says, it's almost I can have my eyes closed anymore. I get my best sleep on 78.
What the heck? That's how some other drivers are driving down the road with their eyes closed. So might as well, you know, what the heck? But you know,
line haul guys do it every night, same place every yep. night. I could, if I go to the same place 4 days in a row, I go nuts. It's time for a change.
That's the beauty with Pennsylvania roads is it's all by feel.
Right.
That's how you know where you are.
It's the Helen Keller method.
Oh, Pennsylvania highways for the blind.
Yes, sir. I heard a handicap. They're fun to watch.
What the heck? Don't listen to Shipper. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the...
of the management.
Of the management. I was trying to think of the word, and it just was... Shipper, you're funny. You're hilarious. What were you saying, Eric?
Sorry. Back to you, Eric. It's not about us. Quiet, Tony.
These roads being so bad, 78, yeah. 84, 81. And,
oh, my and word, yeah.
They just beat the hell out of the equipment. And, you know, DOT's out so hot and heavy. You got a light out. Ooh, that's a major no-no. It's like, right. How does the equipment to stay together?
I drove across your road here. I'm glad I got the light, period.
It's wonder stuff stays together. It's just real.
It is. It really is. And it's a wonder, you know, I mean, it's just crazy. This is the stuff that's like, you look at this in the industry and you're like, this is just crazy. Go ahead, Eric.
You don't know 33 that well, I'm sure, but Brian does, you know, 33 above 22. Oh my God, that's road so bad. When I'm home every day, you see cars, flat tires, broken wheels, and it's been going on for months and months like that. It's like they just don't fix it.
Yeah, we're not even talking. We go past the flat tire. It's broken rims. You know, the tire might be good. The rim
is
broke.
I mean, it's just, and this is again, this you know, this plays into the wear and tear on your vehicles, on your truck.
Yeah,
you know that you're footing the bill to fix it all the time. You know,
and like coming 84 out of New York State.
Yeah.
81 come out of New York State. Oh my God, it's unbelievable. It's like you got to put your seatbelt on, two hands on the wheels, just so you can stay on the road.
This isn't NASCAR, but you still have to strap in.
You know, it's just crazy how bad it is. You know.
Yeah.
You get into other states, and you know, like some of the Midwest states, some of the states down south, the freaking roads are like glass. I mean. They're so nice. Even West Virginia, a big mountainous state, those roads are freaking, you know, not perfect, but you know, West Virginia, that's a poor state, you know, all mountains, and those roads are nice. Cross the border into Pennsylvania, and it's, you know, you eat off-road suspension to drive on the road.
Yep. You know when you hit the PA line, that's for sure. It's like a moon landing every time you come across.
Not to pick on Pennsylvania, but.
Oh, I will.
I don't mind.
Just say the word.
It just is what it is, you know. If they do a better job, and You know, I don't know what to tell you. You know, it's just sad.
I know what the answer is. We just have to wait and not buy shit, not order shit, not need shit for 5 years. Then they could get the jump on repairing most of these roads if everybody stayed off.
My business is out of Pennsylvania. I get a load, I get out of the state, and I stay out of the state till I get a load coming back home. I stay out of it.
Right.
I don't blame you.
Hard equipment. And it's tolls and just expensive to do business in.
Yeah, it is. It's very expensive, especially in this industry. It's a very expensive. I don't know how Pitt does it, but with all the toll roads that we use, I mean it's got to cost them a fortune. You know, I'm glad that they do, but man, it's just crazy.
You imagine writing that check out for Easy Pass?
Nope.
Just an Easy Pass, you know?
Nope. No, I cannot. No, sir.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm glad it's not coming out of my pocket.
Pitt's bill there.
Yeah.
Easy Pass and fuel bill.
Right.
Well, at our place alone, it's every other day they're getting a tanker in. So, what's that, 7,600 gallons every other day?
Yeah. A lot of fuel.
Yeah. Times 7 for those of you who want to get your abacus out. Oh, right. Wait.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even just when you think about the size of tanks on an independent trucker's vehicle, you know, if you got 150 gallons on each side, it's 300 gallons. If you're getting 300 gallons of fuel, we'll just cut the 58 cents off that I saw at Love's last night, and we'll just say six bucks a gallon. Yeah. That's $1,800 to fill up.
And then it's let me go inside to look at the load board and see what I can get.
Right. And see if I can pay for this.
Right.
You know, and this is what people don't realize, all the things that the fuel does, you know. It is what gets everything you buy to the store. That's just the way it is.
Well, it's like the old T-shirt says, if you own it, a trucker brought it.
Yep. Exactly. So
Pennsylvania again.
No, come on, please. Even the Amish don't use the roads.
Fuel prices, you cross the border into Ohio, almost a full dollar cheaper.
Really?
No kidding.
Yep. If you go to the TA in Erie, Pennsylvania, $6.70 a gallon. You go to the TA 25 miles away, Ashtabula, Ohio, right off of 90, full dollar cheaper.
Wow. Is that taxes? Is that the difference between
that's actual pump prices, a full dollar cheaper.
Well, wow. It probably is, but the road tax.
Is it the road tax that's added to
okay,
it?
Okay.
That's what I'm here, curious.
All tax?
Yeah.
I don't know the details if it's all tax or what's all involved, okay, but I can tell you the pump price.
That is crazy.
All right.
Full dollar cheaper.
Wow.
Just go with
same
me here.
Same way if you cross. Just mm-hmm. Same way when you cross down into West Virginia.
Right.
Or down into Virginia there, run down 81.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right there, full dollar cheaper.
Wow.
Just go with
Where
me
am
a
I
minute
buy
here.
My fuel at?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Just go with me here a minute. Let's start from New Jersey. Democrat.
Here we go.
Let's start New York. Yeah. Let's start New York. Democrat.
We do have an audience. We did.
They can't afford to turn the key on to go. Let's do Pennsylvania. Democrat. Let's get to Ohio. Republican. Do you see it? Pattern? Do you see a pattern here?
I don't see anything.
Okay. Evidently, you're blind.
Yep.
Okay, Joe.
Me and Stevie.
You and Stevie and Helen. You're all going down the road together. Who's got the wheel?
On the Braille Roads of PA.
Yes. But truth with PA is, the roads aren't that bad in the wintertime because most of the potholes get filled up by the snow.
Snow and ice, right.
Yeah, that the plows don't plow over. So, you know, for 2 months out of the year.
You guys better know another interesting fact about fuel prices.
Talk to me.
Where's Joe Biden from? Scranton, Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends.
Correct.
It depends. He says he's from up there.
The big sign up there says Joe Biden Expressway.
Really?
It used to be the San Suey Highway. I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Joe Biden Expressway.
And how smooth is that?
Biden Expressway.
And how smooth is that?
You know, I don't know. I don't go down there. I don't think I've ever been on it.
That might be the only road he built back.
Better.
I won't say better because nobody's been on it. So anybody up there, please call into the show and let us know. Inquiring minds would like to know. Wow.
2 miles down the street is the Petro truck stop, which is the most highest fuel price at the pump in the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
The highest price.
Maybe Joe gets a kickback.
Pennsylvania is right there.
Wow. Get out.
2 blocks away, or 2 miles away from the Joe Biden Expressway.
Wow.
Most expensive place in the state to get fuel.
It's
the most expensive place in the state to get fuel at the Petro.
Yep.
2 miles from the Joe Biden Expressway.
Avoid it.
Avoid it at all costs. Get you.
Yeah, I deal with TA and Petro, and well, and Pilot and Loves and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the most expensive place in the state is right there.
Wow,
that's crazy. Yeah,
actually,
it is.
It's actually DuPont, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, DuPont.
Yeah, and ironically, EI DuPont is in Delaware.
Is in Delaware. Yes. Yes.
See, Joe. See a pattern? We're not going to go there. We're not going
to
go there.
You can go down to the TA in Harrisburg, the same truck shop chain as, you know, TA and Petro are the same.
Right.
You go down to Harrisburg, it's cheaper. Go to Bloomsburg, it's cheaper. You know, any other chain, that same chain in the state, it's cheaper.
Hmm.
That Petro is the most expensive in the state.
I wonder why. I wonder what the deal is with that. That's a weird thing. You'd think, you know, Petro is Petro, you know?
Yeah, there's got to be a hitch. There must not be another fuel station, fueling stop there for the next X number of miles or something. They got to have a little.
Oh, you got on 81 corridor, you got the Pilot right there. You go up and across into Binghamton. You get the TA right in Binghamton. And if you're going up in the northeast, going across the 84, you cross into New York there at Maybrook. There's a TA there. You're the same chain. But for some reason, that one there is the most expensive in the state.
Wow.
Well, at least they got something going for them. Yeah, stop in.
You know, Scranton's got something going on.
besides Dunder Mifflin paper.
I was thinking the same. Freaking Dunder Mifflin. I don't even watch the show. But all I ever hear is, you know, my kid talk about it. Jackson and Tony's wife, Lindsay.
Oh, God. See that? You know, this goes off the rails so quick.
This show is so focused. So focused.
Shiny.
Oh, look at this over here.
Yes.
Dunder Mifflin.
Look, it's almost like the government. Look at this here. Look what we're doing here.
Yeah. Yeah. Ignore the man behind the curtain.
Ignore the man pulling the mixing sticks.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Eric.
It's going a whole lot easier, smoother than I thought it was.
Yes, it's just a conversation.
Yeah,
it's just.
You
a conversation.
You said you don't have nothing to talk about.
Yep, there's always
like I said. You know, you're driving in a truck all day. You got stuff to talk about.
Yep.
You know,
you
got to
get it out.
Yes, you just it's great to vent and get it out.
It is. It
otherwise,
is.
You can't keep it bottled up. Or otherwise, you know, you go nuts.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're in this industry, there is a certain amount of that's already inbred in you. So
if you're in it as long as I am, you really are nuts already.
It's the diesel fumes that get to you after
exactly.
a while. Oh, man. Eric, this has been a blast. I really appreciate you coming on and just taking some time and talking with us. It has been we've actually been talking for an hour and a half.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe.
Yep.
I can slip the clock. It's like, man, it's too fast.
Yep, it goes by really
and
quick.
And you thought you only had like 10 minutes, huh?
So it was fun getting a look inside of the life of an independent truck driver and kind of getting a feel for it. And that's what, you know, I like doing this because I like the conversation. And, you know, it gives people a chance to hear what it is that happens industry-wide. You know, because there's all different parts of this industry. You know, Shipper and I are in one part of this industry. You're in another part of this industry. And there's all kinds of other things that go on. And to get that kind of feel for people to actually understand, hey, this is, you know, what's going on. This is what these guys and ladies go through. This is what happens in the real world outside of the office. You know, this is where it's at. You know, this is what's going on. So I appreciate you coming on and giving us some of that insight and some of the, you know, the things that you've seen and things that you've experienced and what life is like to do what you do as an independent, you know, just kind of being out there and doing your thing.
Different world than the company driver. You know, mm-hmm. You punch out and go home if you're a company driver. Independent, you go home. Well, there's no punching out. You got paperwork to do. You got maintenance to do.
Yeah.
Tons of paperwork with billing and paying bills, and you wouldn't believe all the stuff you got to keep up on. That's a full time job in itself.
I bet. You could use a secretary.
Yeah, could use one.
Could use one. He's not kidding.
Exactly right.
I'm all on my own.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
But hey,
driver, mechanic, and secretary.
You got it. It's a crazy world. You know. Go ahead.
See, my truck is actually a rolling office. I got a laptop in here, printer, scanner. It's literally a rolling office.
Wow. Yeah. That is cool.
And it's got a great view out the front.
Out of the truck.
Yeah.
I said it's got a great window view out the front, right?
Yeah, great window view.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's what they told me. Come see the world. And I drive at night. I see as far as my headlights go. That's the amount of the world I'm seeing, you know? It's like, oh, well, you know.
It's a cruel world. You don't want to see too much.
No. One of the reasons why I like working at night is I like to watch the sunrise. And I watch it every day. And that's probably the highlight of my day is when it's not cloudy and you get a really nice sunrise. You know, I'm a simple guy, you know, it's just one of the things I like. It's not why I drive truck because there's a paycheck at the end of the week. That's why I drive truck. That's it. And, you know,
see, as far as,
I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack.
I can say, as Brian knows, that's when I do most of my driving at night. I usually start my day at midnight and hit the road.
I can appreciate that. I really can.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
But hey,
I'm always on the phone with Brian. But anyway,
you mean while he's driving?
No, I'm usually in Harrisburg by then.
Yeah, exactly. I was just saying, you're probably waiting at a terminal.
I usually wake him up. He's sleeping in the U-line.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
That's how it works. I know that's how he is.
Yeah, with the NASCAR dropping hook.
That's right. That's right.
But, hey, again, thanks for coming on. Tell the wife I said hello.
No problem.
And tell her she should listen to the show.
Yeah, she definitely should listen to the show.
Yeah, have to let me know when this is live or does it air some other time or how does that work?
This gets aired another time.
This gets aired another time, yeah. And right now we're experiencing a little technical difficulty, so we're not really sure when, but I'll let you know.
We will let you know. We'll give you a heads up so you know when to listen.
Let me know so I can hear it.
No, yeah. I mean, what you could do is you could just start listening to the show, and that way when it comes up, you'll know. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let's put it this way. We dated it, you know, saying Friday the 13th. So if people go back and they hear this in, you know, August or September, whenever we get the computer, Tony.
Right.
you know, you can go back and figure how long it took.
But, Shipper is so gentle, isn't
he?
Is. He's such a gentle guy.
I'm sorry. I'm a, you know, just call him how I see him.
Thanks again, Eric. It was really great talking with you. You guys take care of yourselves. You have a great Memorial Day coming up. So
Yeah. Memorial Day. That's it. That's another holiday he doesn't get paid for.
Well, with all that being said,
all right.
Shipper, you want to take us out?
All right. Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. Thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.